The old rugged cross stands in history as the day that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It's such a beautiful song. I never grew up with this particular song. I sang many other hymns, but the old rugged cross in recent years has meant so much to me and to all of us. We love it. It's a blessing. Shall we just ask the Lord's blessing and help? Our Heavenly Father, as I come up to give the message today, I am conscious that I can do nothing without you, Lord, and I pray that you will speak to us through your word and that you will hide me behind the cross, and we pray that Jesus will be glorified in our lives today as we hear the message, as we go forth into our week. Just help us, Lord. Help us, please, to live for you and serve you in this world. And we pray now that you'll direct us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are two incredible things that happen when we get saved. When we give our lives to Christ, there's two things. Number one is we now belong to Jesus. We belong to him now. And the other great thing is Jesus belongs to us. And these two things taken together should encourage our hearts greatly. Jesus purchased us with his own blood. Once we were slaves to sin, now the Bible says we're slaves to righteousness. Once we were under the control and dominion of Satan, and now we've been set free. To be free in Christ and to serve him. So the title of our message is today, We Belong to Jesus. Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Here Paul writing to the Corinthians says, reading from the New King James Version, Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. There's three simple things we want to look at today. Number one, we are not our own. Number two, we are bond slaves or bond servants of Christ. And number three, we must live Christ-like lives. And may God encourage us from his word today. Imagine that. What did Jesus have to pay to buy us? He bought us with his own blood. Someone said years ago, and I never forgot it, Jesus bought us at the slave market of sin and delivered us once and for all to be his precious people, his treasure. He loves us so much. We've been redeemed. And the word redeem just simply means to buy back. Once we were created by him, then sin came along and separated us from him. And then he redeemed us and brought us back. And that's what he does for all of us. Our bodies and our spirits belong to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, Know that the Lord, he is God. He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Yes, he created us and he saved us. If you read in the book of Song of Solomon, it's one of the five books that Solomon wrote. He wrote in chapter 6 and verse 3, quoting the Shulamite woman. She's the one that said this. And she says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flocks among the lilies. And that really struck me. I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me because we are his people. You know, everybody today wants to feel like they belong. Whether it's in a club or an organization, a sports team, or any number of things, people want to feel part of something. But we as Christians belong to something even greater. We belong to Jesus, and we belong to his church, his people. Alan focused on that last week quite a bit, and we're so thankful for that. Yes, we belong to him. And I was thinking, we are not self-sufficient, but we are Christ-deficient. Because when you're self-deficient, you're relying on yourself. But when you're Christ-sufficient, you're relying fully on him. And the older I grow, the more I see that need in my life to rely fully on the Lord for everything. Because some problems, they're just overwhelming. They're like mountains in front of us. We can't see beyond them. But by faith in the Lord, we can see that he can handle it. He can do it. And I know we have several people that are out of work in the church. And I know that there are others' jobs which are tenuous and are going to need jobs shortly. The Lord's going to provide. From someone who's been there more than once, I can tell you that the Lord will provide for you, and it will be a blessing beyond your expectations. And that's the way it is with all of us, whether it's with a job, a home, a family, whatever the need is, he's going to do it, and it's always going to turn out perfectly. I was thinking about how Jesus always went out to try to find the people that didn't belong. They didn't belong in society. They didn't belong in Judaism. They didn't belong in the culture. And he went after them and saved them so that they could belong to him. Think about the Samaritan woman. He went there to Samaria specifically to meet this woman and to change her life and then to change the people of Samaria. And he did it by his great love for us. And then you think of the woman who was caught in adultery. That was another one. She didn't belong. She didn't even feel comfortable going out in the daytime when the weather was cooler. She had to wait to go at noon when nobody else was around to go to the well there and get water. She was not a person that belonged, but Jesus made her a follower of himself. He loved her and saved her. He changed her life. He changed all these different people, and he went after them. The tax collectors, and they called them tax collectors and sinners. I don't know what the Pharisees were thinking. They weren't any different. They were sinners too, but they didn't think so. They didn't think that they were sinners, but they were. And we're thankful that Jesus loves us so much that he went to the cross and he gave his life for us to save us from our sins, and we should always be thankful. So when you belong to Jesus, every decision, every choice that you have, everything you do in life is based on the Lord. Before we're saved, we base everything on what we want to do, what feels good to us, what's good for our families, but we don't think beyond ourselves. When you become saved, you think, what does the Lord want me to do? What job does he want me to have? What home does he want me to buy? What car does he want me to drive? And it all comes down to belonging to him and knowing that our lives are not our own. They're bought with a price. It's always good to remind ourselves of this, though, because we get busy and we start thinking that we can handle things, and we can't. We can't. We fall flat on our face. We cannot handle it. But the Lord can always handle it. So that's our first point today. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Secondly, not only are we not our own, but we're bondservants of Christ. Do you know in the days of Jesus in the Bible that a bondservant was one of the lowest things that you could be? It was low, very low, to be a bondservant. I think it was under a shepherd, and the shepherds weren't really well liked either, and different other professions, but the lowest of the low was the servants, the bondservant. And bondservants would sell themselves to their master, and then they would be under the total control of the master. The master told them when to sleep. The master told them when to eat. He told them where to go, where they couldn't go. He did everything that was, they were under the control of the master. And we as Christians are bondservants of Christ. We're under his control. And what better master could we have than Jesus? He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants to do great things in our lives. And I found a great definition of bondservant that I really like, and it's anonymous. I don't know who wrote it, but it says this: a bondservant is not his own person. He sold himself to someone else. He belongs to someone else. He does not merely do as he pleases. His time is not his own. He is not free to follow the whims of his personal dreams. He is not his own. He belongs to his master. This is what a Christian is. And in the old days in Scripture, if you read back in the books of Moses, you see how if a bondservant loved his master, and he loved his wife, and he loved his kids, he would say, I'm going to stay and be a bondservant for the rest of my life for this master. And then they would take them to the doorpost, and they would take what's called an awl, and they would pierce the ear of that person. For the rest of their lives, people would know that they are a servant, that they are a servant. Do people know that we are servants of Christ, that we are followers of Christ? We don't have outward things to show, but it should show by the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, how we do business, how we live in the neighborhood and among people. Yes, it's very important to be a bondservant. And I was thinking how the world thinks totally different. The world thinks a bondservant is very low. But what does Christ say? That to be great in the kingdom, you have to be a servant of all. So Jesus put a very high premium on being a bondservant. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did too when he was writing to the Philippians. In chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Paul wasn't afraid to call himself a bondservant. Jesus himself was a servant. He said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If my Savior was willing to be a bondservant, and he was willing to get down and wash his disciples' feet, it humbles me. How can I be proud? How can I do anything but give my all to him because of what he has done for me and for us? Yes, we're thankful. And Paul learned this lesson, to be content to be a servant. Yes, you might say he got his orders from headquarters. This came to me the other day. I mean, it rhymes, and I love rhymes, you know that, but he got his orders from headquarters. It's easy to remember, and when you get up in the morning, what do? You get your orders from headquarters. You spend time with the Lord in prayer and get the direction for that day, and he prepares you for what's going to happen down the road. You don't know what's going to happen that day, but he does, and what you read in the Word will encourage you for something that's going to happen to that day. It always happens that way. That's how the Lord works. That's how he teaches us in life. And this is what we should do. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I have a feeling, ladies, you'll have that verse maybe on Wednesday night when they're talking about being people pleasers or being God pleasers. That could very well be one of the texts. But you know, when you're a bondservant, and I'm a bondservant, you have no rights. You have no rights. You have to relinquish all your rights to your master, and you trust that he will provide for you. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. We have no rights. We can't say, I deserve this. I deserve that. It's my right. No, because we relinquish it to the Lord and we surrender our lives to him, and he works things out for us. Jesus, in effect, was a bondservant to the Father. He did everything according to the Father's will. He didn't do anything outside the Father's will. And that's the way we should live as bondservants of Christ as well. Someone once said, most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity only. I thought, well, that's so true. Some people like to be supervisors and managers, and we need them for sure. But I think we need more Indians and less chiefs. And I'm not talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, but we need more people to serve than to be over the servants. And that's why sometimes in organizations and business, you get too many management levels, right? And so they have to start cutting that down, because you need more workers. You need people that show up every day with a lunch pail and a hard hat, ready to work, giving their all. And that's the way we as Christians should be as well. So our first point, we are not our own. Our second point is we are bondservants of Christ. And our third point is we must live Christ-like lives. Now, we can know the first two. We can know that we're not our own. We can know we've been bought with a price. And we can know that we're bondservants of Christ. But until we take the truths of Scripture and live them out in our lives, we're not going to be a blessing. We have to live the truth. We have to be Christ-like. And I love that word, Christ-like, because it means being like Christ. He is our example. He is who we want to follow. So how do we learn about Christ? We read Matthew, we read Mark, we read Luke, we read John, and we find all out about the life of Christ. And someone once said, the Gospels are like stereo, and you put them all together, and they have a wonderful message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the apostles came along and explained it and taught the Word of God. So it's not enough just to know it. We have to show it in our lives. I love that verse from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Memorized it quite a few years ago, and it is a blessing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Think about that. Are you willing to be crucified with Christ? Crucifying that self every day. Crucifying the nature, our old nature. And following him is the best thing that we can do. Some of you may have heard of a man named Adoniram Judson. Rudy probably has heard, right? Judson? Yes. Well, once there was a newspaper article that likened him to some of the apostles. Wow, that's amazing. But his wife told him about it, and then he said to her, he says, I do not want to be like Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be like Christ. That's amazing. Now, there are some godly examples that we should follow, and we should follow them. But none of us are perfect. Jesus is perfect. His ways are perfect. And when we follow him, we will be Christ-like. And the Lord doesn't want us to live for ourselves. We spent all the time before we were saved living for ourselves. We were living it up in this world. We were thinking we were having fun. We were thinking that it was somehow satisfying us, and it wasn't. But when we came to Christ and gave our hearts to him, We found a treasure house in Jesus. And we found a lifestyle that is his lifestyle that he wants us to have. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So when you think you belong to Christ, he bought you with his blood, he's your master, should you not live for him and not for self? That is the thing. And we need to remember that we belong to him. And everything we have belongs to him. Our time, our efforts, our gifts, our abilities, our money, everything belongs to him. And he belongs to us, and we belong to him. And it should affect the way we live. It should affect it. Joseph is a primary example of this, because when Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him, he told her these words in Genesis 39:9. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has anything been kept from me but you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph lived out the truth in his life. Before he made his decisions, before he did anything, he asked the Lord to direct him. I was listening to the Christian radio station this morning, and they were talking about David and how every time David went out to battle, he always inquired of the Lord and asked the Lord first. And the Lord directed him. Even when he went out to fight against the same army, like in the case of the Philistines, he still sought the Lord's will and sought the Lord's guidance. That's why David was undefeated. That's why. Because he always sought the Lord and always did what was pleasing to him. Was he perfect? No, he had his issues too. But he was a man after God's own heart, and he gives us an example of how we should live in this world. So let's remember today, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. Let's remember that we're bond servants of Christ, and we must also live Christ-like lives. I found a hymn here that I had never heard of before. I don't even know what the tune is or anything, but I found these words, and I said, wow, this goes along with this message perfectly. So I'm going to read it. It's pretty short, and just listen and see how it relates. "I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. All I have and all I am shall be his alone. I belong to Jesus. He is my Lord and King, reigning in my inmost heart over everything. I belong to Jesus. What can hurt or harm? When he folds around my soul his almighty arm, I belong to Jesus, blessed, blessed thought. With his own most precious blood has my soul been bought. I belong to Jesus. He has died for me. I am his and he is mine through eternity. I belong to Jesus. He will keep my soul. If the deathly waters dark round about me roll." And the last verse says, "I belong to Jesus. Ere long I'll be with my precious Savior there in his royalty." Shall we just close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that came to redeem us with his precious blood, to buy us, Lord, to purchase us. We're so thankful that our lives are not our own. Help us to remember this, Lord, in every decision and everything we do, to consider that and to consider that we are bondservants, Lord, that you are in charge, that you are the boss, you're our King and our Lord. And we just pray that you will help us to live Christ-like lives in this world, that we'll stand out and be different. And people will ask us, why don't you get mad like we do? Why don't you do this like we do? And we can be able to tell them that Jesus makes the difference. He's the reason that we are what we are, and we're so thankful. We just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today who has never received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day that they would come to the cross, Lord, and say, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to have Jesus in my heart. I repent of my sins and come to you. And I just pray that someone today will receive you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and as their Savior, so that they can say, my life is not my own. Then they can say, I'm a bondservant of Christ. Then they can say, I want to live a Christ-like life. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll dismiss us with your blessing. Give us a wonderful day. Thank you for this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.